I'm fascinated with prodigies, little kids or young teens who are accomplished beyond their years. I watch them and I'm amazed. We've heard of Mozart and Beethoven. Beethoven was only 7 when he gave his first public performance. Mozart began playing piano at the age of 3, began composing by age 4. By the time he was 12, he had 10 symphonies under his belt. Maybe you've watched Little Big Shots and been astonished by those kids. Maybe you've seen the show called Prodigies online, young kids that were able to accomplish astonishing achievements. A 10-year-old girl who wrote an opera, an 8-year-old boy who was a preacher, a 12-year-old who played at Carnegie Hall, a 16-year-old who could speak 20 languages. These are not fictitious characters like Doogie Howser, MD, or Sheldon Cooper of Young Sheldon. These are real kids who stunned the world with their abilities. The one that really amazed me was the middle schooler who invented a test to find pancreatic cancer.
The Pancreatic Cancer Sensor Project was my very first project that would actually have a direct impact on someone's life. This project touches millions and millions of lives every year. I actually became interested in pancreatic cancer research because a close family friend who was like an uncle to me passed from the disease. What I found is that our current methods for pancreatic cancer detection are really outdated. They're 60 years old. That's older than my dad. Also, they're really expensive. They're like $800 per test, and they're grossly inaccurate, missing 30% of all cancers. And then also they're rarely ordered because pancreatic cancer doesn't show any symptoms. It has like abdominal pain. Who doesn't have abdominal pain sometimes? I wanted a routine test that was accurate, inexpensive, and easy to use.
When Jack came to us with this new science fair idea, you know, every year his science fair projects had been exponentially harder and more complicated. And so when he came up with this idea, I just was like, Jack, please, you're still in middle school, you're 14. If it was that easy that a middle school kid could do it, it would be done. He proved me wrong.
In comparison to the current leading methods of pancreatic cancer diagnostics, my sensor is 168 times faster, over 26,000 times less expensive, and has close to 100% accuracy. Making something that will make a difference in someone's life, not something like ShamWow or something. I want to make something that will change people's lives and change the world and make a long-lasting impact.
Wow. Just unbelievable that a middle schooler could figure this out. Jack wants to change the world. It seems he already has. We are not a prodigy, but we should desire to change the world just the same. Do you want to change the world for Jesus? It's going to take some effort, some study, some energy, and hearing from others, even your mom, that you can't do it. Don't listen to those voices or the voice in your head that doubts. Just be faithful to God. You can't do it on your own, but with God's power working through you, you will be able to accomplish great things for Him. Jesus changed our world by coming and dying to take away our sins. All we have to do is tell others what Jesus did for us. It's that simple. In our study of Luke, we see Jesus, the child prodigy, teaching at the temple when he was only 12.
And ye shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. How is it that you sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business?
Old teaching the scholars of the day? We don't know that Jesus quoted Malachi 4:6. All we know is what Luke tells us. I love that the video shows at least two kids with Mary and Joseph. In reality, they could have had six kids in tow. Matthew 13:55 says, isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother's name Mary? And aren't his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? Aren't all his sisters with us? When Jesus was 12, James could have been 10, a sister 8, Joseph 6, Simon 4, Judas 2, and an infant sister. Dragging that many kids back to Jerusalem to look for Jesus could have been quite frustrating. Before we hear what Luke tells us about 12-year-old Jesus, I want us to realize that this is the only accurate, inspired information that we have about Jesus from the time of his dedication at the temple, that we looked at last week with Dustin, to the age of 30 when he was immersed by John in the Jordan River. Basically 30 years of silence. And many wonder what Jesus did during those lost years from 12 to 30. First, they were not lost. God chose not to give us the information. But with the lack of information, people do what people do. They speculate and make things up. There is a legend that Mary's uncle was Joseph of Arimathea, the man who buried Jesus. Joseph of Arimathea was a tin merchant, and after Jesus' adopted dad, Joseph, died, he took Jesus with him to England and even South America on merchant trips. William Black wrote a poem in 1804 in which is based on this legend. And did those feet in ancient time walk upon England's mountains green? And was the holy Lamb of God on England's pleasant pastures seen? It's an interesting idea that the Savior of the world actually traveled and visited other parts of the world, which he died for, but the legend has no historical backing. We also have the Gnostic Gospel, Infancy of Thomas, written in the 2nd century, and this false gospel makes Jesus out to be an ornery, vengeful little brat that had superhuman powers. When the son of a local scribe gets on Jesus' nerves, Jesus declares that the child should be withered like a tree, so the kid shrivels up and dies. On another occasion, Jesus curses a child to death after he bumps into him on the street. The whole community calls upon Joseph to rein in Jesus or get out of town. And when Joseph tries to talk with little Jesus about his bad behavior, Jesus just blinds the whole town. The false gospel, Infancy of Thomas, also tells us of Jesus bringing to life clay birds, resurrecting a dead playmate, healing his brother James after he was bitten by a viper. He also stretched a board so it would fit in his dad's carpentry shop. Now that would be helpful. Inspired scripture, though, tells us that Jesus performed his first miracle by turning water into wine at the wedding feast. John 2:11. This, the first of his miraculous signs Jesus performed at Canaan in Galilee. He thus revealed his glory, and his disciples put their faith in him. We must be able to distinguish the difference between truth and fiction, inspired words from make-believe. Now, Satan uses these lies to confuse people and to diminish the inspiration of the Bible. This false information has been used in movies, The Passion of the Christ, and more recently, The Young Messiah. People who don't know any better believe it's in the Bible, but it's not. Let's get back to the inspired truth of God's word about Jesus, the child prodigy. Luke chapter 2, verse 41. Every year his parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the custom. After the feast was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. And when they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you. Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Wow. How you felt when you saw the video of Jack is how people and the religious leaders felt when they heard Jesus, the child prodigy. With prodigies, we say that they've been blessed with God-given talent. Jesus did not have God-given talent. He was God. In this short passage, we learn a lot and have a lot of unanswered questions. First, we learn again, as Dustin taught us last week, that Jesus was raised in a faithful Jewish home. Even though the law only required males to attend the Passover feast, both Mary and Joseph took their entire family every year on this nearly 100-mile pilgrimage. At least a 5-day walk and 7 kids, all asking, "Are we there yet? James, touch me. I'm hungry. Simon, trip me. My feet hurt. Why does she get to ride?" Deuteronomy 16:16 says, "Three times a year, all your men must appear before the Lord your God at the place he will choose, at the Feast of Unleavened Bread," which is Passover, "the Feast of Weeks, and the Feast of Tabernacles." They probably went as a family all 3 times that Joseph was required, in our April and May and October. Now that is commitment. That would take almost 9 weeks each year to be faithful. Are you that dedicated to Jesus? Many have a hard time going back for evening church service or a Wednesday night Bible study. But it's not about attending church. It's about being dedicated in your faith to Jesus, making the decision and being dedicated and faithfully to fulfill what God has asked you to do. Are you reading God's word and doing what he asks you to do? Don't worry. Live by the fruit of the Spirit. Love Jesus. Love others. Take time to listen to God through his word. The second thing we learn is that at the age of 12, Jesus knew who his father was. Luke 2:49. "Why were you searching for me?" Jesus asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" His parents didn't understand. Why not? The angels appeared to both of them before Jesus was born. Shepherds came on the night of his birth and told them what the angels had said. Simeon and Anna announced who he was at the temple. The wise men knew who he was. Had they forgotten all of this in just 12 short years? Well, Jesus seemed like a normal kid, and now this? He's not demonstrated this wisdom in the synagogue at Nazareth. Where did it come from? And why now? They knew he was the Son of God, but didn't understand what that really meant in practical terms. Could it be that Mary and Joseph had not yet told Jesus of his miraculous birth? So when he claimed God as his father, they were confused. How do you know our secret? So when did Jesus know he was God? This is really an unanswerable question. We can't know what we've not been told. Our minds are too limited to understand Jesus' incarnation. How can we understand that Jesus was fully God and fully human? As God in the womb, and as God as a baby, and God as a young child, he limited his ability. As an adult, he limited his knowledge of his second coming. Matthew 24:36 says, "No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father." Jesus, as a human, got tired and hungry, but God doesn't get tired or hungry. So maybe as a 12-year-old, Jesus had matured physically, emotionally, and intellectually enough in his human nature to understand his God nature. Or maybe even as a human baby, Jesus knew he was God and just did not reveal it. The third thing we learn is that Mary and Joseph struggled with anxiety and hurt. Luke chapter 2, verse 48. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." I'd be anxious too if I'd lost the Son of God. We have all lost things, but losing the Son of God? Oops. What, how are you going to explain that to Gabriel when the angel Gabriel shows up again? How had Jesus treated them? Had Jesus been rebellious or disobedient? No. Jesus was sinless even as a child. The younger kids didn't have a chance. Mary'd say, "Why can't you be more like Jesus?" But Mom, 1 Peter 2 tells us in verse 21, "To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example, that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth." This was true of Jesus as a child, not just for 3.5 years during his ministry. Jesus was following a higher calling to teach in his Father's house. He was doing God's will, just like the apostles preaching in his name after they were commanded to quit. In Acts chapter 5, verse 29, "But Peter and the apostles answered, 'We must obey God rather than men.'" Now, Mary and Joseph may have felt Jesus had been disobedient, but feelings are not truth. The fourth thing that we learn is that Jesus was obedient and grew. In Luke chapter 2, verse 51, it says, "Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men." That is how Luke concluded the last section after baby Jesus was presented in the temple. Luke chapter 2, verse 39. "When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him." Jesus subjected himself to his parents' authority, and he grew. He grew mentally, physically, spiritually, and socially as a human. But he was also the God baby, the God boy, the God man. As I said, it's hard for us to understand, but that's okay. Like Jesus, just continue to grow as a person. 2 Peter tells us this in chapter 1, verse 5. "For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ." Be amazed at Jesus, the child prodigy. Follow his example and change the world. Add to your faith so that you can be effective and productive. No, we're not going to impress people because we're a prodigy, but our Heavenly Father will be pleased that we have been obedient and that we have been about his business. Then we will hear him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Will you be faithful and grow this week in Jesus? Now know, if you need help in growing, please reach out to me. That's why I'm here. Let me help you to grow in Jesus. And I want you to have a blessed week.